From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us. Happy Easter Monday to you, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, a lot going on today. President Trump at the White House for the big Easter egg roll, and Pope Francis died. You know, it's interesting about the mainstream media here, ladies and gentlemen. Just yesterday, the media was they could not control themselves. They could not contain themselves. So yesterday on Easter Sunday, the Vice President of these great United States, one J.D. Vance, was meeting with Pope Francis, and the media went bonkers crazy over this. And they're saying, oh, the Pope hates J.D. Vance. The Pope was had no interest in meeting with J.D. Vance. You could tell the look of disgust on his face as he was meeting J.D. Vance. Harumph, harumph, harumph. Well, now it turns out that was not a look of disgust. It was a look of death. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, belittle this, but after that meeting, the last person that Pope Francis saw on earth was Vice President J.D. Vance. And so the Pope dies. And so now the media is all over the idea that J.D. Vance is somehow responsible for the death of the Pope. You can't make this stuff up. And you cannot despise or loathe the mainstream media enough. Well, we have got a jam-packed show for you. Our good buddy, by the way, Raymond Arroyo, is going to drop by. And, of course, those of you in our listening audience who are Catholics mourning the passing of Pope Francis, you know what I find very interesting here is that this is a much-despised pope among Catholics. Now, the media, they love this guy. You know, he was bringing in the transgender people and the drag queens, and this guy, he actually said that there's more than one way to get to heaven. That's Pope Francis. This guy, a far leftist, and we're going to be talking to Raymond Arroyo. You see him just about every night on Laura Ingraham's show over on Fox. So Raymond's going to drop by and give us the lowdown here, because this is a very interesting moment in the history of the Catholic Church. It could be that, and you, and if you're a Catholic, you know this, but your denomination has gone to the far left. I mean, you guys are out there. So now the question is the pendulum about to swing? And if so, where does it stop? Are you guys about to get a more moderate pope, or are we going all the way back to maybe a Pope Benedict? But I'm telling you, the rank and file, and if you're Catholic, you can verify this, or you can tell me I'm full of Protestantism. But the reality is, the average Catholic in the pew, I believe, is much more conservative in their faith and their culture than the Pope was. I truly believe that. Our telephone number, by the way, and write this down. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. But the Pope was a Marxist. And there's you can argue how much of a Marxist, but he was a Marxist. He hated America. He hated our freedoms. He hated our way of life. And he especially loathes Donald J. Trump. That being said, President Trump's been very gracious about all of this, putting out a very nice statement. The president also ordering all of the flags to fly at half staff. So that's a very kind thing. Vice President J.D. Vance, by the way, happens to be a Catholic himself, and he put out a very nice statement. And for the record, no, J.D. Vance did not kill the Pope. Just want to put that out there. So look, the most pressing issue, though, aside from the fact that the Catholics lost their Pope, is something that happened over the dark of night this weekend, and it involves the Supreme Court of these great United States. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got some big, big problems here. Now, the Supreme Court issued a late night rebuke of President Trump in the deportation cases. And when I say literally acted in the middle of the night, it was like, I think, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's unheard of. And they really did not explain why they did this, but they blocked President Trump from deporting any Venezuelans held in northern Texas and under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And the White House has been using the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport all of these violent, illegal aliens, the invaders. Now, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito were the only conservative justices who opposed this. The only ones. Everybody else sided with the illegals. Alito and Thomas are the only justices who actually sided with Donald Trump here. And Alito wrote a strong dissent. He said there was dubious factual support for granting the request in an emergency appeal from the American Civil Liberties Union. The group contended that immigration authorities appear to be moving to restart the removals under the Alien Enemies Act. Now, here's where this gets really weird. The justices, they heard no arguments, nothing. They just took the ACLU's word at it. According to the Associated Propaganda, AP, the majority did not provide a detailed explanation in the order early Saturday. That is normally typical, so this is all very unusual. Very strange. The court previously said deportations could proceed only after those about to be removed had a chance to argue their case in court and were given a reasonable time to consent their pending removals. So Alito is calling all of this premature, unprecedented, but it seems to me that you've got a bunch of pro-illegal immigration activists on the highest court in the land. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a very, very disturbing issue. So we'll see how all of this plays out. My recommendation to President Trump is to ignore the Supreme Court and keep up the deportations. Just keep them up, Mr. President. Keep them up. They've all got to go. Now, on this radio program, we believe that all illegal aliens have to go. It doesn't matter why you are here. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are not here legally, you got to go. I mean, look at where we are right now in this country. Democrats are literally doubling down on returning dangerous MS-13 gang members to American soil. They're doubling down on putting boys in girls' bathrooms, and they're letting anti-Semites terrorize Jews on college campuses. They truly believe this is the platform that's going to return them to power in the midterms. This is the holy trinity for the Democrat Party right now. But all of this centers around the due process argument. And here's how, in my estimation, how due process ought to work for illegals. Let's say you're the judge. Sir, do you have an American birth certificate?
Oh, no, senor.
Sir, do you have an American passport?
No, senor.
Sir, did you enter this country without anyone's permission?
Oh, si, senor.
Well, enjoy El Salvador. Bye-bye. I mean, that's honestly how due process ought to work. I don't know why this is so difficult for people to get. But it is. It truly is. But you got to watch these folks, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing good ever happens after dark in Washington, D.C. Nothing good ever happens. By the way, Chris Van Hollen on the weekend shows, and he's tripling down on his visit to El Salvador. And I just have a question. I want to know who paid his bar tab. You saw the margaritas. I saw the margaritas. I want to know who paid for that. Who paid for the airline ticket down there? Who paid for his hotel? Who paid for the Uber in El Salvador? But I want to get back to one more thing, and we've got to take a quick break here, folks. But I want to say something about the Supreme Court. They've said absolutely nothing as Democrats allowed a violent army of illegals to invade our nation. They stood down. They Seriously, when was the last time you heard the Supreme Court justices weigh in on the illegals raping our women and slaughtering our citizens? When did they do that? But in the dark of night, they're going to stop Republicans and Donald J. Trump from repelling the invaders? I am telling you right now, D.C. is demonic, but let's talk about something much broader here. We have a deep state rebellion underway. And if they've managed to co-opt the Supreme Court, we've got big problems on our hands. Now, I will say this as, again, we go to break. These are dangerous times for the Republic. And I say that because Donald Trump has already demonstrated that he's willing to do whatever is necessary to stop these deep state critter dwellers. And if that means firing tens of thousands of government workers, so be it. If it means shutting down entire government agencies, he's already starting to do that. But the people are fighting back now. And that tells me that Donald Trump has to step up his efforts. It's only going to get worse. Look at what happened to Pete Hegseth. We're going to get into this a little bit later on. But Pete Hegseth is dealing with all sorts of problems in the Pentagon right now, and all of them are woke holdovers from the Biden administration. So we're going to talk about that as well. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. So just moments ago, President Trump on the White House lawn, he's having a good time hanging out with the children. And by the way, just compare the when you see the children frolicking about at the Easter egg roll at the White House, they're not afraid of President Trump, right? And you know why? Because President Trump isn't violating their personal space. He's not sniffing the children. He's not fondling their hair, right? He's acting like a grown adult who's not a perv would act like. Anyway, President Trump out there just moments ago. Let's take a listen.
And speaking of special, Easter is special. And it's one of our favorite days. It's one of our favorite periods of time. We're honoring Jesus Christ, and we're going to honor Jesus Christ very powerfully throughout our lives, all throughout our lives, not just now, all throughout our lives. We're bringing religion back in America. We're bringing a lot of things back, but religion is coming back to America. That's why you see the kind of numbers that you're seeing, the spirit and the kind of numbers that you're seeing.
Yeah, I believe that. And again, we had so many pastors on the show last week. We had Franklin Graham. We had Pastor Robert Jeffress, among others, Dr. Paul Chappell, our good friend out in California. And they were all telling me the exact same thing, how important it is for the president of the United States to really be an ambassador for Christianity. And we saw this going all the way back to our founding fathers. But in the modern presidential era, you had Dwight D. Eisenhower, who really embraced that role. I write about this in my new book coming out in June, by the way, Star Spangled Blessings. But Trump is out there having a good time coloring with the children. Last year, you had Joe Biden. You remember this story? There was a staffer, a White House staffer, wearing an Easter Bunny costume, and the Easter Bunny was literally telling President Biden what to do. At one point, a reporter came over to ask President Biden a question, and the Easter Bunny came over and literally intervened and stopped President Biden from answering a question. If that had happened to Donald Trump, Trump would have turned around and would have slugged the Easter Bunny. You don't do that. So there you can't make this up. You just cannot make it up. By the way, did you see the photograph? Now, this is very odd. We've got it up on our socials, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So the Biden family took an Easter photograph together, and they're all sitting there on the steps of the Biden family compound, and everybody is lounging about, and they're all they're dressed very casually. If you've seen the photograph, you know what I'm talking about. But then in the far back of the photograph, at the very back, is Joe Biden wearing a suit, and it looks as if he has been photoshopped into the family photo. So my question, and Biden sent all this out. He posted this on his official social media pages, and a lot of people are wondering if something's wrong with Joe Biden, or was Biden not invited to be a part of the family Easter photo? We're going to be talking about this tonight on the Newsmax show. Something very, very strange is going on there. All that to say, it is a lovely day at the White House. And is it not special? Is it not refreshing to know that we have a commander-in-chief who loves God, who respects Easter? I mean, last year, President Biden was honoring the transgender activist on Easter Sunday. And President Trump is celebrating Jesus. I just find that to be very, very refreshing. So good for you. Good for you, President Trump. Oh, by the way, real quick here before we run to break. Have you seen this story in Christianity Today? Now, this was once a storied and revered evangelical magazine. And now it's run by a bunch of these limp-wristed woke evangelicals. And they literally ran a story on Easter Sunday saying that Jesus was not nailed to the cross. They said there's absolutely no evidence in the Bible that Jesus was nailed to the cross. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, because there are plenty of Bible verses that show that Jesus was in fact nailed to the cross. But look, these organizations like Christianity Today, these are very dangerous groups now, because they are actively working to cast doubt on Holy Scriptures. That's what's really going on here. But they quoted some evangelical scholar who was saying that there's no proof in the Bible that Jesus was nailed to the cross. And any evangelical Bible scholar who claims that the Bible got the facts of the crucifixion wrong is not an evangelical scholar in my book. As a matter of fact, sounds to me like this guy got his Bible training at one of those godless heathen Ivy League divinity schools. And by the way, the editors at Christianity Today should consider maybe just rebranding themselves Christianity Yesterday, because there is absolutely nothing Christian about this modern day version of Christianity Today. Unbelievable. Folks, I'm just telling you right now, if you've got a subscription, cancel your subscription, because that thing is a piece of garbage. And it's blasphemy, too. All right, got to take a quick break here, ladies and gentlemen. Should President Trump ignore the Supreme Court and continue deporting the illegals? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheet, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard My Pillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And want to welcome our brand new affiliate to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, KGYN, the Big Talker. And, man, do they have a massive signal. They actually reach five different states. That is pretty significant. Our good friends over in Guymon, Oklahoma. And we want to welcome all of our brand-new listeners to AM 1210 KGYN to the program. Now, here's the deal, and we've been doing this for a very long time now, but every time we have a brand-new radio station that joins the program, anybody who calls in this week from KGYN, if you call in and you get on the show, we're going to give you a Todd Starnes Show swag package, and you're going to love it. It's a lot of fun, and we love doing that as a way of saying welcome to the neighborhood. So again, those of you listening to us on KGYN, the Big Talker, five states. I mean, it's Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, New Mexico. You guys are awesome out there, and we look forward to adding your voices to the conversation. Write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So the question now is, what happens with the Catholics? And who will the next pope be? We're going to be having an in-depth conversation on that tonight on Newsmax. I want to go right away to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, the Fox News contributor, New York Times bestselling author, Raymond Arroyo. Raymond, good to have you with us today.
Oh, Todd, thank you for calling me.
So first of all, can we all agree that contrary to the reporting, J.D. Vance did not kill Pope Francis?
Yeah, I think we can agree to that. But it is interesting that that's the final world leader that Pope Francis met before he passed away. It was J.D. Vance. And, you know, he engaged in a very vocal denouncement of J.D. Vance, really on the grounds of migration, you know, a disagreement on migration and illegal immigration and how that should be handled. And the Pope tried to ply a theological point, which I won't even get into. It's so neuralgic. But it's clear they had a difference of policy and opinion. But look, they met. They exchanged good greetings on Easter, which is sweet, but that was the final world leader that he met, J.D. Vance. Incredible.
Raymond, no doubt that the politics of this pope skewed left. How do you think this is going to play in the conclave? And, you know, will that pendulum swing back a little bit from where it is now?
Well, I never use right and left to describe the pope for this reason. He wasn't to the left. The problem was he certainly came from a Peronista mindset from South America. I mean, he was closer to crony capitalism and kind of a double talking than he was a communist. But when you look at what the Pope's position was on key elements of classic Christian doctrine, marriage, you know, he permitted the blessings of gay couples. This caused such confusion, strife, furor in the Catholic Church among Catholics, because the Pope is supposed to be, and indeed Catholics believe he is the successor to St. Peter, the line of men that run from Francis all the way back to St. Peter. And the job of that apostle was to tend the sheep and feed the sheep, meaning keep the doctrine pure, weigh in and keep the doctrine pure, and announce the gospel in the middle of the world in a attractive way. That's your job. And at times the Pope got into this idea where he was really siding with the world, and it seemed that, you know, immigration and climate change was more important than marriage and life. And so, thank goodness, he really didn't change any doctrine, though he flirted with it, you know, ordination of women, and he finally said no. But then they were opening up another study, you know, not long before he died. So there was a lot of back and forth and confusion. My guess is this will lead to a papacy, and all the cardinals I spoke to this morning, and I've been on the phone since 4 a.m., they are very concerned about the confusion in the church. They know that people are looking for clarity and the eternal truths, and my guess is they're going to find a pope who will defend those values and become that countercultural witness in the middle of the world.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because really over the past couple of years, we have seen this massive, shift of young people converting to Catholicism. And yeah. Many of them are driven by very traditional roles in the family, a very traditional view and reading of Scripture. Do you think that's going to have any sort of an impact at all on what the cardinals decide?
Well, you know, Todd, I always look to the culture for this stuff. I've been talking about this on Fox all weekend. Catholic dioceses across the U.S., and if you talk to, look, my friends in Protestant denominations, too, will tell you they're seeing the same thing. 30-70% increase in baptisms in Catholic dioceses across the United States year over year, this year, this Easter. That's an incredible leap. I was at a parish in New York. The aisles were packed with 20-somethings, Todd. I've never seen anything like this. And when I talk to these kids, they're kids to me, they're looking for orthodoxy. They're looking for sound doctrine. They're looking for historically rooted truth. They're looking for the gospel. That's all. The gospel message clearly articulated and defended. And, yeah, they want traditional liturgies. They want to go to the Latin Mass, which Pope Francis took great strides to try to stamp out and forbid. My guess is the next pope will permit it. All over again, because what was true yesterday, as Pope Benedict used to say, what was true yesterday, what was true 2,000 years ago, remains true today. It doesn't change because somebody doesn't like something about it. The truth is the truth. And my guess is those young people, what they can't come into the church for is what the church will give them. That's my guess.
Yeah, according to the Diocese of Fort Worth, Texas, for example, this is from the reporting of the New York Post, they've seen a 72% jump in converts just from 2023 to 2024. I mean, that's really remarkable. I know that, I attend a Baptist church, and, man, we were packed to the gills yesterday. And sure enough, to your point, most of those people were very young, and they had very young families coming back to the church. What do you make of it? Why do you think so many young families are coming back to the church?
Well, I asked these people yesterday, these young people, you know, this is near NYU's campus. I mean, so you had kids from all over the world here. They had one girl I talked to was a Buddhist who was converting. One boy was a Muslim, and he was converting. And then you had all these kids who kind of fallen away or were members of other denominations, didn't quite get it. They drifted. But they're looking, almost to a person, they told me, we feel the world is in such chaos. And one kid said, I couldn't figure out what's the role of a man in a civil society, in a Christian society. How do you live your life out as a man? Well, the church teaches what that's like. Love your wife as Christ loved his church, but you're cleaved together, and we're here to create families, join the act of God, and worship God. That's our job. We're here to do. And I think the clarity of that, and then the
I think we've lost Raymond there. But again, the gist of that is that young people across America are coming back to the church, whether it be the Protestants or the Catholics. And I mean, it's a fair conversation to be had. Why is that? And what exactly are young people, you know, these Gen Zers that are flocking back to the church? What are they looking for? How does that play in our current politics as President Trump, who is not a cultural conservative, but President Trump has been out there saying, look, if we really want to make America great again, we got to pray again. We got to read our Bible again. And President Trump called holy you-know-what over that. But it's true. Raymond Arroyo, Fox News contributor, New York Times bestselling author, go and read his work. He has a great show on EWTN, RaymondArroyo.com. That's RaymondArroyo.com. All right, well, we've got to take a quick break here and pay some bills, ladies and gentlemen. A lot happening at the Pentagon. We're going to get into that story. Also, the IRS targeting a famous church in Texas. You're not going to believe this story. And also welcoming our brand new listeners on AM 1210 KGYN, the big talker in Guymon, Oklahoma. You folks calling in today, we want to welcome you to the Todd Stearns Radio Show audience, and we're going to hook you up with a great swag bag prize package. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Oh, so right now, President Trump is sitting down at the coloring table, and he's autographing all of the coloring books for the children. What a great man. And by the way, the children are not afraid of Donald Trump. You know, with Joe Biden, the kids know. Those kids know. They knew something was not correct. They can sense that kind of stuff. And that's why they love President Trump. All the kids are crowding around and having a good old time. As President Trump signs the coloring books there at the White House. All right, let's go to the phones here. Larry in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you, young man?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. Hey, you asked the question, why is people flocking to church? I'll tell you why. Because they're seeking Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. He's the way to the Father and the way to heaven. Got to go through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. People have been deceived so much. They've been told that there's not an absolute truth. There is, and that's in Jesus Christ. So that's why they're going, I think, to church. They're seeking, and they're finding, listen, it's not in alcohol, women, all this crazy stuff. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, I do wonder, though, Larry, you know, when you look at the Protestants and the Catholics, I mean, for years, it's been the evangelical churches that have been leading the way with all these mega churches and with the American Idol cover bands. And you've got the preachers up there, you know, wearing the jeans and the flip-flops giving TED Talks. And you do wonder if one of the reasons people are attracted to what the Catholics are doing is because of the tradition. Because of the intensity of their religious faith, as opposed to the evangelicals, where you can go, you don't have to go. It's, you know what I mean?
Well, I think we've kind of missed the boat on some of that, too. But stop and think about it, Tom.
Larry, we got a bad connection there, but I think we got the gist of it. Let's go to Tim in North Carolina. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you today? And my goodness, when was the last time we had such a headline day going on a Monday?
Yeah, it's a busy day.
And listen, I hope you'll let me just divert very briefly. I really want to pay your show a compliment. You know, when I think of our dear departed Rush, and of course, your show came along on air after he had passed away. But I tell you what, you are bringing along that his tradition between conservatism and the humor that you bring so easily. You really make our midday and early afternoon so very enjoyable, and you keep the topics very succinct and right on top, and it's just an awful lot of fun. And,
well, thank you.
I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Tim.
Well, I think a whole lot of other people are probably nodding right now because of that. And I tell you what, here, the topic I was going to respond to was your question of the last, before the break, where you said, should President Trump ignore the Supreme Court? This is probably just one of those technical issues beyond my understanding, but I think along with a lot of other people, for goodness sake, don't use that law. They're already illegal. Isn't that good enough to deport, to arrest and deport?
Well, it certainly seems that way to me. I mean, they broke the law. As soon as they stepped foot in the country, they broke the law. So that to me is a pretty simple thing when it comes to due process.
I mean, you know, it seems like if count one is that you're a gang member and you're violent and you can't remove them on the grounds of the law that they were, I think there's enough to just simply deport them based on the fact that, hey, buddy, you're illegal. You have to leave. And we're going to help you. So that's a question I had. Really, I've thought it for a couple of weeks since so much has been made over not using this, what they call this arbitrary or old law. Use whatever else you have. Seems to me that there's ample ability to do that, and I'd like to understand the reason why not.
Well, the American people have spoken up, and in survey after survey, it's very clear they want all the illegals removed from the country. And so we're watching a lot of pushback right now among the Democrats and their supporters, like the ACLU. And I'm the only surprise here is that only two of the Supreme Court justices dissented here. Only two. That's a problem in my estimation. And so the question now is the Supreme Court, are they at odds with the Trump administration? Have they decided to become more aggressive against this administration? But what really got me is that the court didn't even bother to wait for Justice Alito to finish writing his statement. So they went ahead and they just shoved it right out there and broke all sorts of precedent in doing so. But typically, when you have a written dissent, it comes out the same time as the majority's order does.
Well, and I tell you, and I couldn't have, if you'll give me a little bit more grace, as you were touching on our dear president and his disposition to support traditional Christianity, what an amazing thing that we saw this past week with his proclamation. And I tell you, I know that I'm talking to a whole lot of people out there who have been praying for this president to come to know the Lord the way that we as believers know him, and you have to go no further than what we would pray for him than the Lord Jesus himself, as he's in that conversation with Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again from above. And I'm sure that causes people to just break down in laughter or whatever. Well, let them, but that's what he said, and he said that it was the Holy Spirit that provides the new birth. And that's really the only way to make it so that this is not a matter of someone's feelings or how they, you know, how they perceive something, but it'll be a work of God. And that's what I pray for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tim, I appreciate that. We're super late for a break here, but thank you for calling in. And again, ladies and gentlemen, it just seems pretty clear to me. President Trump is the president. He's the commander in chief. We have been invaded, and the president needs to repel the invaders. Maybe he just needs to call out the military and round them all up. But there's no reason why this president should obey the Supreme Court in this unlawful decision. Absolutely no reason why. All right, we've got a lot coming up. Our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett is joining us. We've got a lot to say about the MS-13 gang members, so all of that happening as well. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And to all of our new listeners on radio station KGYN, head over to our website. You can bookmark that, toddstearns.com. We have all sorts of great news and content for you to peruse on the interwebs. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Easter Monday to you. Hope you had a good Easter celebration. Yesterday, the Stearns family congregated at the Peabody Hotel, the home of the world-famous Ducks, which, by the way, the Grand Hotel of the South. And they had one heck of a buffet. And dare I say, they also had all-you-could-drink champagne and mimosas. So I didn't realize that many Presbyterians drank in the Mid-South. It was a wonderful experience. And if you haven't been to the Peabody, you gotta go. It's a lot of fun. They're gonna feed you quite well. And it's just a great way to again wrap up the Easter Day festivities. So, I want to welcome our brand new affiliate, by the way, AM 1210 KGYN, the Big Talker. This is a massive radio station out in Guymon, Oklahoma. Their signal reaches into five states, so we want to welcome all of our brand new listeners in that part of the country. And for those of you calling in today from AM 1210, you're going to be receiving a Welcome to the Neighborhood gift package, courtesy of the show. So write down our telephone number. You will need that, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line and welcome, I should say an old friend. We've known each other for many, many years. He was my boss at Fox News Channel. He wrote the definitive biography of Pope John Paul II, our good friend John Moody. John, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
Todd, it's wonderful to hear your voice and to hear how well things are going for you. Thanks for having me.
Things are going, you know, as long as you're back in Dixie, it can't be that bad. You know, we got air conditioning, sweet tea. What are you going to complain about?
And apparently free champagne.
And a lot of free champagne. Yeah, I'll tell you about that later. John, the breaking news today, I think not surprising, but just the shock of it all. Pope Francis passing away. And now the search for the next pope begins. How do you judge Pope Francis and his time in the papacy?
Well, Todd, Pope Francis was the first of many in many categories for the Roman Catholic Church. He was the first Jesuit, and you have to remember that Jesuits have long been under suspicion by mainstream Catholics for their worldviews and for their determination to educate everyone according to their way of looking at things. Pope Francis was also the first South American, though he came from a family with Italian roots. But the most interesting thing is he wasn't expected to be in the running to become pope in 2013. And when I was on Fox News at that time, when the white smoke went up with Megyn Kelly, and she said to me off air, she said, "Who's this guy Bergoglio?" And I said, "Yeah, watch him. He just might come out." And when he did, of course, everybody was awestruck. He made wonderful first impressions. He was humble. He smiled. He touched children with medical problems. He touched the poor. And so right away, you wanted to like the guy. What was lurking underneath, I think, was a very strong anti-capitalist resentment in him. And as his papacy began, he already touched some nerves among conservative Catholics with the things that he said and the things that he did, and the constant harping on the rights of migrants and why no country should ever reject a migrant. And then on a flight back from Brazil, papal flight, he was asked on about his views on homosexuality and whether or not gay couples should be allowed to take communion and go to mass, et cetera. And he said possibly the worst answer that he could have given in a conservative Catholic sense. He said, "Who am I to judge?" Well, you're the Pope. That's what you do. And he never really recovered, I think, with conservative Catholics from that moment.
When you look at what's happening really over the past couple of years, that we had Raymond Arroyo on in the last segment talking about the numbers of young people, and especially Generation Zers, that are returning to the church, and they are embracing, the young men and young women seem to be embracing these traditional gender roles within the family. Do you see any of that playing an impact on who the cardinals might select as the next pope?
Well, let's let the body cool down first before we start making guesses on that. Yes, I think that there is a craving for traditional values, which a lot of the, as you call them, Gen Zers, have not had, either from their families or from their schools or when they get to universities. It's all just, you know, hey, everything's okay, just do whatever you feel like, nobody's going to say anything. No, there are some rules that we live by in civilization. And yes, the Catholic Church was and perhaps will be a bastion of traditional values and decency. So yes, I think that there's a very good chance that someone much more conservative than Pope Francis had been might be the next pope.
It's really fascinating watching all of this unfold from the Protestant side. I'm a Baptist. And we're dealing with our own issues in more, you know, becoming more liberal in some of the issues, the cultural issues facing the church. I guess my broader concern is when you have the two largest religious bodies in America, the Catholics and the Baptist, and we're really not quite sure, you know, where we're going a lot of the issues of the day, you do wonder if that does have an impact on the culture at large.
Yes, up to a degree, it does. Those two Christian faiths have never been particularly close, but nor have they been in violent opposition to each other. When I say violent, I mean extreme opposition to each other. I have some Baptist cousins in my family, and none of them has ever given any reason to think that they would be bad people or that they were intent on doing evil to others. It's the thing that Christ was trying to teach. Help other people, love them. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to turn, you know, roll down and roll over and just let anybody do to you whatever they want you to. And so I think, yes, the Baptist faith and the Roman Catholic Church, both the conservative wing of the Roman Catholic Church, both have a role to play in reestablishing common decency in our country.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it was so impressive. I mean, back in the day, Fox would send me to cover the March for Life. And, you know, predominantly the tens of thousands of people were coming from Catholic churches and Catholic universities and Catholic schools, leading the charge to protect the unborn. And I think those are issues that people of faith can agree on and stand together side by side. And I certainly hope we see more of that. By the way, that you just reminded me of something. The bishop here in Memphis, Tennessee, John Moody, was a Baptist. So he converted from the Baptist to the Catholic faith, and now he's our bishop here in the Mid-South.
Well, that's one more of you we've got on our side. That's good.
The best of both worlds. John Moody is joining us on the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line. How does all of this process work? And again, the Pope just died, But what happens in the immediate aftermath of that at Vatican City?
Well, there's a traditional mourning period, and then in the space of a few weeks, perhaps more than a month, but who knows, Camerlengo, the senior member of the College of Cardinals, will make a formal invitation to all members of the College of Cardinals who are eligible to vote to come to Rome. And when they get there, that will be the beginning of what we call a conclave. It's not a big word, but it means something specifically in the Roman Catholic Church. And then they will essentially isolate themselves from the rest of the world. Now, that used to be something that was taken for granted in years past and in popes past. The cardinals would come in, they would shut doors behind them, and they would speak nothing to outside world. Of course, then we got the internet, and then we got texts, and then we got, and the whole thing just started to break down. There were reports, never confirmed, but reports that some cardinals were actually texting outsiders to say, here's what happened today. That's not supposed to happen in the conclave to elect the next pope. But now they will arrive, and they will, in theory, isolate themselves from the world, and they will begin to take ballots. And you need a two-thirds vote, to elect a pope. When you take a vote and there is no two-thirds vote for a single candidate, and they're not candidates, by the way, they're simply those who are being considered for the papacy, then the Vatican sends up black smoke out of one of its famous chimneys in the building. When there is a two-thirds vote, then suddenly there's white smoke and the world goes crazy trying to figure out who it's going to be. And shortly thereafter, the newly established pope walks out onto the balcony in St. Peter's and blesses the crowd and gives his first remarks.
It's going to be fascinating to see, and no doubt there's going to be a lot of attention right now in Rome as we watch all these events unfold. And, John, I know you're going to be on, I believe you're going to be on Newsmax this evening with one of my great colleagues, and we look forward to hearing more of your thoughts then. But always good to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you, Todd. Great to hear from you, and congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you. The great John Moody, everybody, and was just a force at the original Fox News channel, and just so admire all of his great writings. And if you haven't read his books, you've got to read John Moody books. You're gonna love them. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. From Kent State University, got to get this story in. Kent State University in Ohio, they are facing some backlash. It turns out they had an art display that basically promoted the assassination of President Trump. So the art exhibit featured a gruesome image of President Trump's severed head on a spike. It was impaled on a spike. And this is in a very prominent area of the university. So the display also included the words, "We only have to get lucky once." Again, implying assassination. Now, at first, the university defended the artist, and they said that putting President Trump's head on a spike is protected under freedom of expression. But then our friends over at Libs of TikTok shared an image of this, and all of a sudden the university had a change of heart. They said, well, we're going to let the artist decide whether or not they want it to stay up. So the artist voluntarily removed the exhibit. Otherwise, it would have stayed up. So the university had no intention of forcing anybody to take down this garbage. Now, the Kent State president, Todd Diacon, admitted the display depicted violence against elected officials, and he said displays like that were problematic but not illegal. He said students have a constitutional right to express themselves. Now, it just seems to me, we got a couple of problems here at Kent State University. First of all, you've got a university president that can't even outright condemn violent artwork. You would think that at the very least, that would be worthy of condemnation. But my other concern here, and we saw this play out over the weekend. There were more incidents where people who are Trump supporters are getting attacked in public spaces. And it seems to me we've already had two attempts on President Trump's life. And it's incredibly disturbing to know that there are some students in the art department at Kent State University who are actually openly hoping for a third attempt. That is unacceptable. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, can somebody help me understand what Kristi Noem is doing? I'm just genuinely confused here. I remember when she was governor of South Dakota. Nice enough lady, and I thought she did a pretty good job as governor, but very touchy, though. Very touchy, very sensitive, so you had to be careful what you could talk about with Kristi Noem. Now she is our Homeland Security Secretary, and she has been called out for, well, there's really no polite way of saying this. She's been called out for playing dress-up, for they're calling it cosplay. As a matter of fact, that's her nickname in Washington, D.C., Cosplay Kristi. And she's being ridiculed for all of these costumes that she is wearing as the Secretary of Homeland Security. And by the way, a lot of this criticism is coming from conservatives, people like Megyn Kelly, for example. Anyway, she's being criticized for tagging along on these ICE raids wearing full makeup, and I mean full-blown makeup, you know, her hair done up, wearing a baseball ice hat. She's got the bulletproof vest. Well, you need that. Then, when she joined Fox News, she was wearing a completely different Border Patrol outfit, and her nickname in some circles is Ice Barbie. Oh, because she accessorizes, I suppose. On Sunday, Kristi Noem took her costume up a notch. This is according to Yahoo News. This time wearing a giant cowboy hat with her makeup and hair in full glam mode on NBC's Meet the Press. I don't necessarily have an issue with this part of the story at all. I mean, if that's how she wants to be, it's just weird. I don't see anybody else. I don't see the female agents getting makeovers before going out on ICE raids. But anyway, what's fascinating about this, and the reason I'm talking about this, is because Kristi Noem has become the victim of a crime. According to reports, Kristi Noem fell victim to a thief while eating dinner at a downtown Washington, D.C. restaurant. Noem was asked about the theft at the White House Easter egg roll, and she said, yes, the matter, it happened, and the matter has not been resolved. So it turns out that whoever it was a white male wearing a medical mask. He stole her bag and then left the restaurant. Now, inside the bag, you had Kristi Noem's driver's license, some medication, her apartment keys, her passport, her Homeland Security access badge, a makeup bag. Really? I kind of figured she needed a separate, like, whole thing for that, a backpack. And also about $3,000 in cash. I'm just going to ask, who carries that much cash? Who carries $3,000 in cash? I don't know. Maybe she likes to tip a lot. I don't know. Anyway, Secret Service has launched an investigation. But can we just back up for just a moment? This is a major issue here. You've got the Homeland Security Secretary. This woman should be guarded, right? So how was it that a guy was able to walk up, snatch her bag, walk out of the restaurant without getting caught? That's insanity. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Maybe she was buying more costumes. I don't know. I do not know. Well, Congressman Jamie Raskin is making a threat to world leaders who are supporting President Trump. You can't make this up, but cut number three, please.
You know, we should be talking about cutting off aid to El Salvador right now. The whole idea that Bukele doesn't have any power to return an American prisoner who was sent to him under an agreement where he's getting paid $6 million by America is ridiculous. He's our legal agent in this dubious arrangement they've created.
Right.
Of course he's got the power to return them. So he and Trump are just acting like a couple of dictators having fun at the expense of a man's life and his family. And they want to be able to do that all over the place. So I like that idea. And it's a compliment to something that we need to be doing right now, which is engaging in far more work of transnational democratic solidarity with the democratic governments and the democratic movements and peoples and parties of the world.
Totally agree.
To try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us. But implicit in it should be the idea that if and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
All right, I want to go to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, a great congressman from Eastern Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm not in a prison down in El Salvador, and I'm not a member of a known gang, so I'm doing pretty well.
I got to tell you, though, for a death camp, not too bad. You have patio seating, and you can order a margarita. I mean, heck.
I don't know about all that, but no, it's no resort. And if you're a gang member, that's where you need to be. If you've broken the law, the guy broke the law. He's not an American citizen. He was in our country illegally. It'd just be the same as the president of El Salvador told us to release an American prisoner into his care. It's the same deal. He doesn't have, our judiciary has no right down there. The guy was here illegally. These Democrats are coddling these gang members, and it's just blown up in their face. There's even CNN gave a polling results the other day that is over half the country thinks that that Trump's doing the right thing with immigration. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and America agrees with it.
You know, it makes no sense to me, Congressman, why the Democrats have decided this is going to be their issue. You had James Carville just the other day. And he was just unhinged talking about how we've got to double down. We've got to embrace the illegal aliens and get them back to America. This makes no sense to me.
Well, it's their voters. That's what they're after. They're going after these folks for the vote. And it's just, they haven't spent 30 seconds dealing with somebody who's lost a kid. And I was just with a family, the Corcorans, their son died tragically in a car accident because an illegal was hammered drunk and crossed the center line and killed their son. And, that kid would be here today. He had a fiance getting ready to get married, and they'd be enjoying a great time probably with children by now. And that family, that kid's life was cut short because we didn't have the guts to enforce our own dadgum laws. 20 million people are in this country illegal, Todd. It's just that we know of in the last 4 years. I mean, that's members of the Taliban, that's Chinese communist spies, that's dirtbags from these gangs, and we continue to make excuses for them. The Democrats are losing every battle. I mean, they want men in dresses in our daughters' dressing rooms, playing against little girls in sports and things like that. They have they really sold their soul to the devil. There's nothing else left to say. And Jamie, you're asking by saying that, I would think, why is he going to say the same thing about Ukraine? Because Zelensky shut down Orthodox Christians in that country, and he has done a lot of things that are not admissible in this country. Is he going to do the same with them? So I think there's it's a real double standard, and he's far left, and he's appealing to the far left.
Well, he certainly is, and that seems to be who the Democrat Party is right now. I mean, you've got David Hogg up there. And he, look, he's so bad there, even his own people are calling him a contemptible twerp. And
I was going to say, we got to produce, though. We got to quit all this nonsense in these committees and start passing bills. The Republican gave us a very slim majority, but they gave They gave us a slim majority because we were wishy-washy and ran moderate. President Trump was elected overall in a virtual landslide. All the states that, you know, the deciding states went with him, and just across the border. And the number one issue was Trump was going to do some things, and he said he was going to do it. And Congress is kind of didn't really have a cohesive message. And we better get one, or we're going to be in the minority, and we're going to see this far-left agenda creep right back into everything, every aspect of our life.
And to your point, there's a brand-new Yale survey out, Congressman. AOC is the current front-runner for the Democrat Party nomination in 2028.
Yeah, I would tell people that they better take her serious, because she is a juggernaut, and it's our own fault. She's raised $7 or $8 million already, and she's the only member of Congress I've seen where people come, when she walks on the House floor, young people start cheering. We better start taking these people serious, and we better quit making martyrs out of them. I told our folks to ignore those people, ignore them. But what do? They put them out on every dadgum newscast. They make them a national figure, and you know clearly she's not a national figure. But now the Republicans have created her, and the only ones that are going to do her in are the Democrats. You're not going to run somebody up there against her and beat her. If she wants to run against Schumer, she will be the next senator from New York. And we better start taking these people serious, because that is the agenda that's been put out on our colleges, our public colleges and universities. Our elite, so-called elitist private schools, they've been gone for a long time, but they've gotten their tentacles into our public schools, and we better wake up, because that is what's happening, and we could lose this country.
We have Congressman Tim Burchett on our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Congressman, I am curious, how many of the president's executive orders have been codified? Those have been brought to the floor, and they've been voted on in the House.
I'd say probably two, maybe, and that's part of the problem. We have bills dealing with that. It's just getting them through that awful committee system that we have. The swamp, or I call it the sewer, because it's not a swamp. It's the committee system. I can't tell you how many times I've heard chairmen say, and they said to me, "Tim, we can't. I'd love to get your bill out, but my staff would kill me." Nobody elected the staff members. We have standing committees controlled by Republicans. They have over 50 staff members. These are full-time paid employees. And you better dadgum believe that some K Street lobbyist has every one of their ears, every one of them. And they're the ones that go on the little junkets and the little trips, and they're whining and dining. It might be legal. It might be on the edge, but it really doesn't matter. We better start paying close attention, because we are going to end up handing this thing back over to the Democrats.
What does it tell you, though? I mean, the president's been signing executive orders just about every day since Inauguration Day, and only two have made it beyond the House of Representatives.
Yeah, well, the thing you got to realize, too, the Senate can bring them up as well. They haven't done anything. They haven't passed any of them. It's just the way leadership runs, and it's not the way it should be. I wish somebody would run for Speaker and say, you know, dadgummit, I'm just going to run for 1 year, and that's it for Speaker, and I'm out after that. And they just clean the House. But to get to be Speaker, it's so dadgum big, Todd. You got to compromise. You got to give somebody this. You got to give somebody that. And currently, right now, we have Republicans that are in, like, from New York. There's several of those where Kamala Harris won by 14 or 15 points, and they're in Republican-controlled districts. But the Democrats won the White House, so they're very moderate to liberal Republicans. And you're not going to put somebody like myself or anybody else of any conservative nature up there. And so we've got to work on these other states. You know, I get sick and tired. I got sick and tired of our former leadership when I'd go to these recruiting things, and it was like a beauty contest or something, and they didn't have the credentials, and they got beat, and they worked against good, strong conservative Republicans in the primary. So
this is the first real go of it with this leadership, and I hope that that doesn't start repeating itself.
You and me both, but we know the clock's ticking, and it's not 2026, because there will be a moment when everybody starts campaigning, if they haven't already, and then nothing is going to get done.
That's right. It's a two-year cycle, and you're right. About a year out, it starts crumbling. You know, Congress used to be, it really wasn't, they weren't in Washington full-time. I mean, that's up to almost the 50s that we didn't, you know, and folks are angry about us being home. I'd rather us be home, because we can do less nonsense if we're not going to do anything. As I like to say, those post offices will name themselves. And the more we're in Washington, the more we can do mischief. And I do more work, actually, when I'm home.
Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you calling in and also being pretty direct and frank with us. We really appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Well, you're like my therapy session. I don't know what a good therapist costs, but I'll send you $22 for the time we spent.
That'll work. I'll give you the address.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks.
Keep back.
Oh, my goodness. Tim Burchett. It is sort of like, it does sound like a therapy session. The poor guy, you know, he sees it all. And I'll tell you, somebody else who's like that is Diana Harshbarger, who's also ironically from Tennessee. And they get up there and they're like, holy cow, well, here's the problem. Nobody actually wants to do anything. Nobody actually wants to work. But this is a troubling thing. And hear me on this. President Trump has been issuing all of these executive orders, undoing an untold amount of harm that has been done to this country. But the problem is, if we get a Democrat in the White House in 2028, all of that goes away. It is so important. And it seems to me that Congress should be laser focused on one thing, and that is implementing President Trump's agenda. That's all they ought to be doing. They're all home right now. Why is everybody at home? They need to be back in Washington. They need to be doing their jobs. You just heard the congressman say only two of President Trump's executive orders have actually been codified. That is unacceptable. It is just unacceptable. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It is official, by the way, folks. Newsmax, now listed as a news giant on the New York Stock Exchange. Over 40 million Americans now turn to Newsmax for the news they need to know. They're tuning into the Newsmax channel on all major cable systems, and they watch Newsmax, too, on all the streaming platforms. They go online to Newsmax.com for breaking news headlines. Millions more have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone and home TV. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. And even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. He's watching. Tens of millions of Americans like you have made the switch to Newsmax for the news they can trust. So make the switch today, America. You won't ever look back. All right. This just in. JFK's grandson weighing in on the death of Pope Francis. That would be Jack Schlossberg. That's an appropriate last name for a member of the Kennedy clan. Most of them are sloshed, snookered. Anyway, JFK's grandson, little Jack, claims that Vice President J.D. Vance killed Pope Francis. You can't make this up, folks. Schlossberg writing on his official X account, okay, J.D. killed the Pope, and leading a lot of people to weigh in. By the way, Vance is the last person to see the Pope alive. Unbelievable. Vance met with the Pope early Easter Sunday. The meeting came amid their ongoing feud. The Pope condemned the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration. Vance, of course, a Catholic convert, spent the Easter weekend in Rome, and family attended Good Friday services at St. Peter's Basilica. You know, I went there once. Nice place. Our church, I like our church. The church I go to, it looks good. people weighing in. And by the way, that J.D. Vance writing this, I just learned of the passing of Pope Francis. My heart goes out to the millions of Christians all over the world who loved him. I was happy to see him yesterday, though he was obviously ill. I mean, the poor guy, they're just, he's been gone forever, and they've been hauling him around in that wheelchair, and what do they call the, the Pope-mobile. Stick him in there, and I don't know what they're, I felt bad for the guy. It looked to me like elder abuse, but that's just me. Anyway, people saying, I don't think J.D. Vance killed the Pope. I think meeting J.D. Vance probably drained the Pope's will to live. It's subtly different. That's terrible. Pope Francis survived a double pneumonia, but not a five-minute meeting with J.D. Vance. These people are terrible. I am telling you right now, the Democrats, they're demon-possessed. The whole freaking party is just demon-possessed. Good Lord, man. Oh, we've got some, we'll save Jasmine Crockett for the next hour. But Simone Sanders is coming out with some, and she may be the next Jasmine Crockett. Simone Sanders is very concerned that President Trump might start deporting other peoples in America, cut number 8.
But to me, that is why Kilmar Abrego Garcia's specific case, the case of the gentleman who's a makeup artist out of California who was also sent to that prison, that is why the 75% of the folks who have been sent, the men who have been sent there that don't have criminal records, that is why this is so important. Because if they could do it to them, if they could snatch students off the street without any pushback or recourse, they will do it to any of us. To be very clear, it's going to be the people of color and vulnerable communities that are next in line.
So Simone Sanders thinks that Trump is going to start deporting black people just for the fun of it. We have received no inkling at all that this is Trump policy, Trump administration policy. All the president is doing is deporting the people who are not supposed to be here. And by the way, when you go to places like Chicago's South Side, for example, when you go and talk to those folks, and I'm talking about the black citizens of Chicago, they're going to flat out tell you they don't want the illegals here. They want them sent right back to where they came from. And why is that? Because they know that when the Democrats embrace the illegals, then the blacks in the Democrat Party get moved right to the back of the bus. I'm just telling you, they know what's going on. And when it's all said and done, most of those folks are going to be voting Republican. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. You know, it is, it's almost 100 days, 100 days in the Trump presidency. April 30th will be the official 100-day mark of the Trump White House. And let me just say something here. I think Donald Trump has accomplished just a phenomenal amount in Washington, D.C. Congress, on the other hand, they haven't done diddly squat. I mean, they really haven't. They haven't codified two pieces of executive orders coming from the White House. That's a big problem in my estimation. But I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, 100 days out, how is President Trump doing? How would you judge the president of these great United States? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I also want to extend a welcome to all of our brand new listeners across five beautiful states. AM 1210 KGYM, the Big Talker And we understand that signal is so large it hits five different states, emanating from Guymon, Oklahoma. And we want to welcome all of our brand new listeners. If you call into the show today from Guymon, Oklahoma, from KGYN territory, we're going to hook you up with a welcome to the show prize package. So welcome to all of our great listeners on that beautiful radio station out there in Oklahoma. Now, I want to play some audio here before we jump into the latest at the Pentagon. Nancy Mace is at it again. So Nancy Mace, and many of you may not be aware of this, but Nancy Mace, before she became a member of Congress, she was a Waffle House waitress. And by that I mean she was a Waffle House waitress. And so she knows how to take care of herself in a pinch. Everybody knows, you've been to Waffle House, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, she was minding her own business in this place called Alta, which is some sort of a ladies store. And that's where you go to get your makeup and your whatnot. And Dylan, I know you're a newly married man. Has your wife made you tag along to some of these lady places?
Yes, I can confirm.
Is that awkward? What do you do? You're standing there in the makeup aisle.
You just kind of look pretty. You know, you look like a boyfriend, me a husband now. You're just tagging along. It's like a mom and son at the grocery store.
Do you have to hold the bags and everything? Is that like your job?
No, I get to smell the scents. Like, I get to be sprayed by perfume, and my arm is used for like the lipstick, you know, see what color matches.
Oh, really?
That's me.
So let me ask you this. So I just want to test you here. Honey, how does this makeup make me look?
Oh, you look wonderful.
Oh, you just passed. Yeah. Flying colors.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. That. Well done. That was a softball. So anyway, she's in this store, and I'm just going to describe this to you as best I can. There was a man who sort of, you don't want to judge, right? I mean, I don't want to say this guy comes across, but he's, you know, sometimes there's a vibe. What do they call it? They call it a gaydar, right? Is that where it like goes off and it's, you know, like whoop, whoop, whoop. That's really not gaydar. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's the gaydar. So when you watch the video, this guy certainly kind of gives off that vibe. Or it could be the fact that he's a grown-ass man wearing Daisy Dukes. That's just me. Anyway, here is a Congress gal, Nancy Mace. She's minding her own business when she gets confronted by this lunatic. So she flips on her camera and starts filming the guy.
I do them every year.
Every year.
You want to keep going?
Do you want to keep going?
Keep harassing me? You could have gone to a dozen town halls last year.
I asked if you're doing any more this year. It was one simple question.
Yeah.
Are you doing a town hall?
I've already done one. I'll do plenty more.
Are you doing any more this year? It was a simple question.
You're always invited.
Okay, sweet. Well,
and by the way, I voted for gay marriage twice.
What does that have to do with me?
So I'm just saying, it has to do everything to do with you.
Do you think everything about me has to do with gay marriage?
I do.
That's your first stance when you speak with me?
Absolutely.
There's no other humane.
If you want to get in my face about town halls, you should have shown up to one last year.
There's no other thing you can talk about me, just saying, oh, I support gay marriage.
Yeah, because you're getting in my face about a town hall. You could have gone last year.
Would you like me? If you have any plans to have more town halls this year?
I have town halls every year. I have over a dozen every year.
Great. That was my entire question. You didn't have to go into this spiel at all.
You could have come to any of them last year.
Okay. And
I had over a dozen.
Not 2024.
Where were you the year before that? Or the year before that?
It was a simple question.
Oh, because you know what? Because you people on the left are crazy.
So I'm
you're absolutely crazy.
I'm absolutely crazy.
You are. And get out of my face.
You're insane.
Goodbye.
You're insane. You're gonna me? You're going to be voted out so fast this year. I won by so much.
And it goes on and on and on. This is remarkable. There's a lot of bleep in there, but Congresswoman Mace told the man to go fornicate himself in no uncertain terms. So the guy, his name is Eli Murray Quick. This is according to The Advocate, which is a gay publication. And Mr. Quick wrote about his perspective. He says, and I want to read this to you. Well, we took a trip to Ulta today and ran into another of the Nancy Mace, arguably one of the most biggest embarrassments in modern South Carolina politics. And he went on from there. Now, the guy takes issue with her just assuming that he is gay. And I don't, do we actually find out? Well, let's finish reading. I'm just, look, and the guy seemed upset that she would make that because she just sort of volunteered that information about supporting gay marriage just out of the blue. And it could be, and in all defense to Nancy Mace, you're right. We should not paint with a broad glitter brush. I get that. But we're talking about a grown man in a ladies' makeup store wearing Daisy Dukes, speaking with a lisp. The guy wasn't oozing like, I don't know, pro football player, you know. It wasn't that kind of a vibe. Maybe I'm a tight end. Okay, well, possibly, but I don't know. Anyway, the guy's very upset, and he's demanding that she apologize. He says he's done nothing wrong here. And look, it just seems to me, I've always got a problem with people harassing the lawmakers when they're just standing in line at the Chick-fil-A or they're, you know, at the makeup counter in Ulta or they're trying to get on board a plane. And people want to score some cheap points, mainly because I don't like it when they do that to me. And you know they're only doing that because they want you to respond. And Nancy Mace certainly did that. But now people are suggesting that Nancy Mace may need some sort of help. They're all upset because Nancy Mace cussed out a guy. Well, it just seems to me this guy was out of line. You confront a lady like that, sir? And could you please wear some pants? Nobody wants to see your pasty white thighs, sir. Nobody. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we have some breaking news here. I want to share this with you from NPR. It's getting ugly at the Pentagon. All right? It's getting very ugly. And there are a lot of people that have knives out, and they're trying to take down Pete Hegseth. And the mainstream media now believes that Pete Hegseth is in the danger zone. Now, we just heard a few moments ago from President Trump, and he says he still supports Pete Hegseth. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, just a few moments ago, saying this, cut five.
The president stands strongly behind Secretary Hegseth, who is doing a phenomenal job leading the Pentagon. And this is what happens when the entire Pentagon is working against you and working against the monumental change that you are trying to implement. Secretary Hegseth was nominated for this position because he is standing up for the war fighter, the men and women in uniform who are putting their lives on the line to protect our country and our homeland. And unfortunately, there have been people at that building who don't like the change the secretary is trying to bring, so they are leaking and they are lying to the mainstream media. We've seen this game played before. The secretary is doing a tremendous job, and the president stands strongly behind him.
All right, so here's the reporting from the New York Crimes. Pete Hegseth shared detailed information about the strikes in Yemen in a private signal group that included his wife, his brother, and his personal lawyer. That's according to four unnamed sources. So, look, I've done this for years, and when you're using that many unnamed sources, that tells me none of it's true at all. Some of those people said the information that Hegseth shared included the flight schedules of the Hornets targeting the Houthis in Yemen. Hegseth's wife, Jennifer, a former Fox News producer, oh, they left something out there. She was my Fox News producer back in the day. Is not a Defense Department employee, but she has traveled with him overseas and drawn criticism for accompanying her husband to sensitive meetings with foreign leaders. I'm wondering if the Times had a problem with Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden showing up at cabinet meetings and actually running the cabinet meetings. I wonder. Mr. Hegseth's brother and his personal lawyer both have jobs in the Pentagon, but it's not clear why either would need to know about upcoming military strikes aimed at the Houthis. So now, Hegseth, by the way, weighing in on this controversy at the Easter egg roll, cut number two.
What do you want to say, sir, about the Signal chat controversy?
You know, what a big surprise that a bunch of, a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't give back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. Pulitzers for a bunch of lies. And on hoaxes, time and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters, and anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. So I'm happy to be here at the Easter egg roll with my dad and my kids, because, you know, this is what we're doing it for. These kids right here. This is why we're fighting the fake news media. This is why we're fighting slash and burn Democrats. This is why we're fighting hoaxsters. Hoaxsters. This group, this group right here, full of hoaxsters that peddle anonymous sources from leakers with axes to grind, and then you put it all together as if it's some news story. And when we know it, we know exactly what it is. So I'm really proud of what we're doing for the president, fighting hard across the board, and I'm going to go roll some Easter eggs with my kids.
All right. Well, there you heard the Secretary of Defense. And I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you still have trust in Pete Hegseth? Now, NPR is reporting, and this is breaking news, that the White House has begun the process of looking for a new Secretary of Defense to replace Hegseth. They're, again, quoting unnamed U.S. officials. So I don't know if this is true, and I don't think it's true. I think you heard President Trump out there saying that he's standing behind Hegseth. You heard Caroline Levitt. They would not say that if it were not true. But I am curious, how do you think Hegseth is doing over at the Pentagon right now? You think he's doing a good job? Let me say this, and this goes for everybody that's serving in the administration, everybody. And I'm talking about Pam Bondi, talking about Pete Hegseth, talking about everybody, Linda McMahon, you name it, Cash Patel. Your job is to serve the President of the United States. That's your only job, to accomplish his agenda. That's it. And when you cannot do that, then you are of no use to the president. And I don't mean that to be crass or to sound, you know, unkind, but it's true. We do not have a lot of time. The clock is ticking on this administration and the ability to get things done. And hear me on this. There are establishment Republicans, as bad as things are right now on the Democrat side of the aisle, they are just as bad on the Republican side. And the Republicans, and especially the establishment Republicans, the ones that have hated Donald Trump from day one, the ones who really felt like Jeb Bush should have been the guy, those people would be willing to lose the majority in the House if it means stopping Donald Trump and his agenda. I'm telling you, this is the word I'm hearing, and I believe it. And I'll just point this out. We still are funding NPR and PBS. Why is that? I mean, how many years, how many opportunities have the Republicans had to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? They are still getting government money. At this very moment, they're still getting government money. So they're talking a big game, and I that's great. But for me, I'm looking for results. And I can promise you this, every time we have a Republican from Congress on, I'm going to ask them the question I asked Tim Burchett. How many of those executive orders have been codified? How many? That tells you what Congress is really up to. But right now, I look at what's happening on Capitol Hill, and it concerns me because it looks as though they're trying to sabotage Donald Trump and his agenda. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Busy news day. Going to be a lot of fun later tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show. Be sure to watch us at 5 o'clock Eastern. All right, coming up, we're going to jump into what's happening with this illegal alien gang member, the MS-13 guy. So now we have more lawmakers, Democrat lawmakers, that are traveling to El Salvador. Maxwell Frost of Florida, Robert Garcia of California. Also, we have Congressman Ansari of Arizona and Maxine Dexter of Oregon. My question is, why are we footing the bill for all of these people? Why are we having to pay for their airline tickets, their Uber, their hotel, the food, the margaritas? Why are we doing that, ladies and gentlemen? This is absolutely ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is, these lawmakers have yet to visit a single angel mom. And that's what bothers me about all of this. You've got these poor folks. For example, Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland. He has yet to sit down and visit or mourn with the mother of Rachel Warren. Why is that? Why hasn't he picked up the phone? Why hasn't he sent her a card or maybe some flowers? Why hasn't he said anything? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Greg is listening to us in White County, Georgia. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I was just listening to this Chris Van Hollen, and he was talking about this, what, Garcia, MS-13 terrorist?
Yes, Abrego Garcia.
Anyhow, he was saying that he's protected Garcia's constitutional rights. Now, from what I understand, or what I was taught in school, or what little I did learn, he doesn't have any constitutional rights, does he?
He has a right to due process. Anybody in America that's arrested has a right to due process under the law.
Okay. But when Van Hollen says, he says his constitutional rights.
Well, I would contend, Greg, though, that, and here's where I side against the Supreme Court and these activist judges. It's my thought that if you are here illegally and a judge asks you, okay, are you here illegally? And you say, yes, that's your due process. You're gone. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there is something in the Constitution that does protect, but now him being MS-13, that would throw out, I mean, after they've proven he's MS-13, wouldn't that automatically prove that he's
it
illegal?
Should. It should. Under the Alien Enemy Act, it should, Greg. But the problem is you've got a bunch of activist judges that are trying to step in and intervene. The act itself is very clear. I mean, it's really clear. You can't, there's really no wiggle room. This is a right that is bestowed upon only one person to deport, and that is the President of the United States, Greg.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So just take Chris Van Hollen as a diehard liberal Democrat and...
The guy has a thing for white beating gangbangers. I don't understand, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know what I can say on the, but my, when I first heard it, that just tore me up. And I thought, well, I'm thinking that he's a brain dead Democrat.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, a libtard. Yeah, you can call him a libtard. Greg, thank you for that call, and we certainly appreciate that. Oh, we've got a Jasmine Crockett update, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is This is a doozy. Jasmine Crockett out there making a new pronouncement. Take a listen. Cut 11.
I want y'all to know that every day that I walk in those halls, regardless of whatever rhetoric they put out about me, I am a very serious lawmaker. At the same time, if you try me, you will find out. I don't want to be clear about that, because I am truly a black woman at the same time.
All right, so she's making a threat. By the way, Al Sharpton was up there on the stage with her. So she says, if you try me, you will find out I am truly a black woman. What does that even mean, ladies and gentlemen? Does it mean she's going to go full-blown Shaniqua on her? A full-blown nay-nay? Is that what we're talking about here? I know of these things because I got stuck on an airplane once with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's a conversation for another day. Let's go back to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Our very first caller from AM 1210 KGYN, Kent in Oklahoma. Hi, Kent. How are you today?
Fine. And yourself?
Kent, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm listening to your radio station on KGYN 1210 out of Guymon, Oklahoma.
Well, Ken, I'm glad to hear that. This is our very first day broadcasting our national show there on KGYN, and we're excited to have you as one of our listeners.
Well, I'm enjoying listening to your program.
You know, it's interesting, Ken. A lot of people may not realize this. Ken, you know what I'm about to say. But the state of Oklahoma is literally, and it is scientifically and politically proven, to be the most conservative, the most red, the most pro-Trump state in the entire nation.
Yeah, I agree.
Every single county in Oklahoma, and we're talking, this was 2020 and the last election, 2024, every single county went for Trump.
Yeah, I saw that.
Kent, what do you make of that? Why do you think Oklahoma is so conservative?
Well, we have to work, and we have good moral values, and we'd like to keep it that way.
Nothing wrong with that, Kent. Nothing wrong at all. Well, just as a way of saying welcome to the radio show, we're going to put you on hold, Kent, and we're going to get you hooked up with a Welcome to the Neighborhood prize package, and we'll send you a signed copy of my latest book. Also, we'll send Kent a brand new Gulf of America postcard sticker. Those things are really nice, and our team here did a terrific job of designing those. So, Kent, again, welcome to the neighborhood. And again, all this week celebrating our new radio station launching KGYN in Oklahoma, Guymon, Oklahoma, broadcasting across five states. It is a mighty big station. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is Reverend Andy Oliver of the Allendale United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this is one of those woke churches, and he's actually wrapping himself in barbed wire in honor of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the alleged wife beater, twice accused. And all of this happening during yesterday's church service. Take a listen.
In a spirit of solidarity, more than 50 justice-seeking congregations around the country have been lighting a candle of peace, hope, and justice. This candle represents Christ's light shining even in the midst of barbed wire policies that wrap tighter each day. This morning, we light the candle of peace, hope, and justice for all who are being labeled alien enemies and deported, shackled by fear that they will be next, or waiting for news that their loved one is okay. We continue to pray for Kilmar Abrego Garcia, whom the Supreme Court has ordered must be returned home after our government unlawfully kidnapped him to El Salvador. We lift up Arturo Suarez Trejo, who was denied the chance to meet his newborn daughter and instead sent from Texas Detention Center to El Salvador. And we remember the 236 other men living in cage-like conditions in the terrorism confinement center, despite only 32 of them having been convicted of any serious crimes. Scripture tells us that on Good Friday, Jesus promised a thief hanging beside him that they would be together in paradise. Now, while we don't expect paradise from our government, we do expect due process. While we do not need our leaders to emulate the grace of Jesus, we yearn for any official who wears a cross to speak words that mirror Jesus' mercy and compassion instead of Pontius Pilate's fear and contemptment. Jesus declared, "The truth will set you free." So God, make every government official tell the truth, that these detention centers have more in common with concentration camps than with prisons. Because a prison, by definition, operates within a judicial system. A person is arrested, charged, and tried, and if found guilty, sentenced. A concentration camp, on the other hand, functions outside the law. People are detained without a trial, without conviction, held indefinitely, not for what they've done, but for who they are, for their religion, their ethnicity, their politics, or their identity as part of a group deemed a threat. And so we pray not only for justice, but for truth.
All right, there you go. That's a godless heathen, a church. And this guy actually comparing Garcia to one of the thieves on the cross. That's just insanity, ladies and gentlemen, simply insanity. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John on the line. All right, Pastor John, I understand you want to grade President Trump.
I would give him an A, but I would normally give him an A+, but all these governors that are not listening to his executive order, I believe executive order means you need to do it, so they ought to go to the DOJ, arrest him, do the burp walk. I know the word pastor, they say, oh, how can he say this? Well, it's pretty easy. We're a constitutional republic. You don't listen to it, you go to jail. And as far as Congresswoman Mace goes, you know, I'm really proud of her, and honestly, I know this is my human side. She should have just throat punched the guy.
Throat punched. Well, you know, it's Ulta, Pastor John. It's not the Waffle House. So, you know, there's a time and a place for throat punches.
Well, there's a thing called ultimate fighting, and I think Congressman Mason has done a great job. Love you, John. Right. God bless you.
All right. Take care. Take care, Pastor. That's Pastor John. From Kentucky. Well, fair enough. All right, we've got to take a break here. Let me say this once again about Pete Hegseth and the White House just coming out seconds ago and saying that the NPR story is fake news. And I have no doubt that it is. But hear me on this. If Trump wants Pete Hegseth at the Pentagon, that's who he gets. This is my philosophy with this term in office. Whatever Trump wants, Trump gets. Period. I mean, that's it for me. I don't care what the Republicans say. Don't care what the Democrats say. The man took a bullet to the head for you and for me and for our freedom, so he gets a pass on everything. Whoever Donald Trump wants, Donald Trump ought to get. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926, Hendersonville, North Carolina, Fonda. Fonda, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I'll make it really quick. I just wanted to know why Trump would not just get rid of these judges. Mike Johnson could do it at a drop of a pen, and nothing's been done. No one's been arrested. Nothing. The Republicans always cave, and they still are, even with Trump in power. And I just wanted to know if that's going to happen. That's what I want to see. I don't want to hear what they're going to do. And for Pete's sake, do not back people like Lindsey Graham.
Fonda, let me do my best to answer the question. First of all, judges can only be removed from office through impeachment. And then they have to be convicted by the Senate. So I don't think they would have the numbers in the Senate to do that. However, what they also have control of the purse strings. And so it might be easier, Fonda, to step in and say, okay, fine, you're going to play activist politics. You're not going to rule based on the facts of the case. Okay, we're going to defund your court. And I would love to see that happen. But to your point, Fonda, right now, nobody's doing anything. I mean, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of punditry going on in Speaker Johnson's House of Representatives, but they're not getting things done. And I think that's a big problem.
Yes, I agree with you. But they can drop the money. That's in their power.
Yep, they've got the power to pull the money.
But they never have, and they still aren't, even under Trump's power.
That's true.
And I don't want to see him go through 4 years like he did the last time. Get rid of these people. I'm not even impressed with Bondi, to be honest. I'm just not. And for sure, Mike Johnson.
You know,
I don't want to see these people go to jail like we do, like Republicans do.
Fonda, I'm curious. What's your concern about Pam Bondi?
I don't know. There's just something there. She doesn't seem to be a big enough fighter to what I would want. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe there's things going on in the background. But the public needs to see some action. We're not seeing action.
I'm going to say this, and I'll read this. Somebody posted this on X a few moments ago, Fonda. It has been 75 days since Pam Bondi was sworn in. There have been no indictments, no subpoenas, no arrest on anyone involved in going after the J6ers, COVID, Russiagate, and the Epstein list still has not been released.
Yes, but why do you think Trump is backing like Mike Johnson and Lindsey Graham and Pam Bondi? Because he's a man of action. But it's like dead on arrival. We're no different now than we were before as far as these things, people going to jail and stuff. And I'm in North Carolina. I'm mm-hmm. in a godless state. I can only imagine what we're going to go through.
Fonda, you hang in there, and let me say this. We're going to hold them all accountable in this program. I can promise you that. And I stand alongside Donald Trump, and we're going to make sure that the people that he picked do their jobs or else they need to be run out of office. I mean, it really is that simple. Fonda, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Robert in Malvern, Arkansas. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind?
Well, I've gained an additional point that I'd like to make, Todd, and I hope the day finds you well.
Thank you.
But the alleged reverend that you just got through playing, he had two fallacies there. Well, not necessarily fallacies, but the people that want to claim that this is a concentration camp, and that's what I told your stranger, is the very same people who will tell you the Holocaust never happened.
Well, that's actually a really great point, Robert. But again, hypocrisy, they wear that like it's their Sunday going to church clothes.
The second point I'd like to make is there were two things on those crosses decided. One accepted the Lord as Savior and went to heaven. The other did not.
It's a fair point you raised, Robert. And again, the nuance there, I'm afraid, is lost on that so-called pastor. So to your point, Robert, good comments. Thank you for calling in today, and I really appreciate that. You know, tomorrow we may do a little bit of a deep dive on Bondi. She does great on Fox. Every time I see her, I think she's one of the Fox News anchors. And maybe that's the whole point. Maybe she's really doing this to get herself a gig on Fox in prime time. Maybe she's looking to be one of the new hosts. I don't know. We'll find out. But again, it doesn't really matter. My only objective here is to make sure that Donald Trump is successful in accomplishing his agenda. That's it. And there aren't that many folks in the media that are willing to take that position. But we are on this program because we don't work off of anybody's talking points. I just simply agree with what the president is trying to do to make America great again. And anybody who stands in their way, even if they are Republicans, we're going to call them out on this program. All right, folks, it's been a great, great day. Don't forget, head over to ToddStearns.com. Download our free podcast and our free newsletter. Great resources for you. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Get out there, folks. Have a great one. You be good, America.